Welcome, everyone, to the Patty Gentile Show. In studio with me, as always, is my producer, John Iannuzzi. We are coming to you from WADK, 1540 AM in Newport, Rhode Island. And we air on Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and we replay on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. My sister, I was going to tell you, John, that my younger sister's a big Facebook user. And when I told her last week that she could also find WADK's Facebook page and listen live through that, that's how she listened last week, which was, yeah, was very cool. Because that also, you can let me know this, but does that give listeners an opportunity to respond to our poll?
Sure. However, we also like them to follow us on Park City Productions. And listen, any way that you can reach us, reach us. And I think maybe we'll discuss that more here this week. But, you know, you said something real quick there, which is that we're heard Saturday at 6 p.m. And I was thinking back to when the show premiered, what, 8 weeks ago now?
Yeah.
How the first night that I listened, I was at a carnival in a T-shirt. And now when I listen on Saturday night at 6, I'm bundled up and it's pitch dark outside. It's dark at like 4 o'clock in the ADK listening area.
And aren't you and your wife actually driving around with the heater on in the car?
Well, here's the thing. One of my cars has just a tremendous amount of heat. And, you know, it's an older car and the heat works impeccably. And I kind of do this thing when people get in and I slowly raise it on them. And then I do it as a goof. And then I have them say, you know, it's like a sauna in here. What is this? Like Bikram yoga? Like lower the window. And I act as if it's not bothering, but the heat in this car is intense. So yeah, but the best way to listen is any way you listen. So any way you get the show, we thank you for consuming it that way.
Well, I also wanted to mention, because there are several ways, of course, WADK.com, you listen live. I met a woman just last weekend who actually has a radio. She purposely enjoys, she said she does nothing but have talk radio on all day long. And she has a radio so she can pick up AM and FM because she wants to listen to radio from a radio. And of course, thank you for every Monday now that we upload that weekend's show to my podcast, which is called Fighting the Good Fight with Patricia Gentile. So wherever you download and listen to your podcast, please subscribe. And then you'll get, of course, notified on Monday when John uploads that. And we also upload the weekend's show on my website under my podcast page of my website, newenglandtaxrelief.com. So we are so into what we're doing here with this show that we just get more and more excited about how many ways people can reach out and listen to it, whatever works in people's time schedules and how they like to listen to media. It's excellent that we have a lot of options. And I'm actually going to announce another one later on.
Hey, listen, I don't want to take over your show, but you do have some listener response that I'd like to get to before we move on.
Because that's exactly what I was going to ask you for next, because I do have some.
And by the way, don't feel like you have to be an impeccable speller. I had someone apologize to me for this, but don't worry about it. I understand what you're getting at here. So we had Yvonne, who is in Rhode Island, talk to us about some of the superstitions, okay?
Oh, good.
And people who are of Italian descent, which we've established in the ADK listening area, is significant. They have a number of superstitions, Patty. I don't know if you're familiar with the horns. People believe in that. There are ways to break a curse if it's been put on you, according to our listener, Yvonne. And one of those ways is to wear, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but there is a chain that some Italian Americans wear, which is a gold pepper. Have you ever seen this?
I thought that was the Italian horn.
But it protects you from someone putting that curse on you.
Right. It looks like a pepper,
Yes.
but we've always called it the Italian horn. I'm sorry, but I've never thought of anytime I've seen it that to come up to somebody and say, "Oh, I like your
Oh, it's the
pepper that I'm
malocchio. It's
carrying."
the evil eye. Okay, so you wear this, and you're protecting yourself. Okay,
Okay.
this
I'm
is why
sorry.
our listeners tell us. And then she also said, obviously, the black cat crossing your path is not a good. It's a bad sign. And third, when you come in the house, take those shoes off, and don't ever put them up on a table or a bench or a countertop. Shoes are to be by the back door, not worn in the house, and certainly not on top of their furniture. So,
Wow, that was awesome. Those
yes.
superstitions were awesome. Thank you for so many of those.
Yes.
That
And
was
then
wicked cool.
Dave hit me up on Facebook. Dave is listening also in Rhode Island. I don't know if he's in Newport, but he said this, which is that he appreciates that you not only present information, but you analyze what your guests are telling you. And I'm paraphrasing because it's a longer email. He said that he appreciates that you analyze these big financial pieces of information that impact people's lives. So
Yeah.
anyone wishing to reach us, go ahead and do it. Don't be self-conscious about your spelling. We get it. We understand what you're saying. And did you want to give us another way that people could reach out?
Oh, okay. I'll do it now.
Yeah.
My iPhone 17 just got delivered, and I'm very excited because I love new tech. The announcement is, not only did I need to upgrade my phone, but I got really excited about the fact that I'm keeping the iPhone 12 and I'm actually getting a new phone number for it so that next weekend show, we're going to give out the phone number so that listeners can text their answers to the poll questions or any questions you may have, any comments. Or ideas, topics you'd like to hear. And thank you to that gentleman. I forget you mentioned his name that complimented on literally, if I can paraphrase that we're actually discussing these what are technical issues in layman terms. I appreciate that. That's how you're experiencing it because that's my intention. We're all in this together, so we don't need it to be so highly technical in our conversations. We just need to be clear and understandable. So, with fun facts for November, now we're into November, and I have a lot that I'm going to sprinkle out through this month. But to start off with, and we did have a poll question about candy corn, matter of fact, last week. And I come to find out from my younger sister that not only her, but both my parents liked it. And I didn't remember that at all. But this is what we have starting in November. This is Banana Pudding Lovers Month and Peanut Butter Lovers Month. So there's the poll. And how do I miss? Just a couple of days ago was National Sandwich Day. So these just happen to be three food fun facts, but I've got all kinds of fun facts for the month of November and different dates in November specifically. That's not all around food, but these are what jumped out at me as a good poll question. So, Banana Pudding Lovers Month. Peanut Butter Lovers Month, and a couple of days ago was National Sandwich Day. So give us some comments about any one of those. Just like we just had all that good information about superstitions, I will never look at Italian horn the same. I will look at it now and go, he's wearing a pepper. That's all I can say now. That just makes me laugh, but it's too fun. And before we go to the break, I just want you to know that today's show is about owning your own business, being an entrepreneur, And I love this show. Very excited about it because that goes to the core of my upbringing and beliefs in being self-employed. I love business, all things business. So don't miss, come on back. Don't miss any part of this show today because we'll talk about my guests in the next segment as well. But I'll give you my story, my background story, and we'll see you in a few moments. Come on back. Everyone, back from the break. This is the Patty Gentile Show. Today's show theme is on self-employment and entrepreneurship. I am a big advocate because I've been self-employed for decades now, and I come from a family, self-employed businesses. I really wanted to bring this up at this time of year, because I start hearing from people, maybe they're going to retire at the end of the year and they're looking to start a business at the beginning of the year. Some people are not going to retire and they're going to keep working at their full-time job, but they want to create a side hustle, as it's called, you know, a self-employed business on the side at the beginning of the year. And there are some people that the end of the year and the beginning of a new year brings on them making a move where they leave their current full-time job in order to start a business. Our guest today, I'll be introducing you to her before we go on the break. And my coaching corner is going to be about how to avoid the most common mistakes small businesses make. But let me tell you my story of how I got introduced to starting my own business, becoming self-employed. You know, one of the many attributes that makes, in my opinion, America the greatest country in the world is the vast opportunities, you know, she presents. And for centuries, people had been coming to America from all over the world in search of freedom and the various opportunities it brings. I can go back as far as my mom's blood lineage. My mom's side of the family came from England. There, I have Mayflower descendants in my blood lineage. I have relatives that fought in our Revolutionary War in my blood lineage. I have farmers and carpenters and tradespeople that were all providing for their own families, right? You know, up to, you know, my grandfather from my maternal grandfather. From my father's side, I have the European immigration. The time period at the turn of the century in the early 1900s, where my grandparents, paternal grandparents, immigrated as teenagers from Italy. And the European countries were immigrating through Ellis Island. You had the Polish and French and Irish and Italians immigrating through Ellis Island, New York City, in the early 1900s into America for that search of opportunity that it would bring. And my grandfather settled in upstate New York, and I would definitely call him an entrepreneur because he first went to work in the what is called leather mills, and those are cleaning of the hides of the animals' hides used to create leather, and then to the leather products, etc. But my that was very, very tough piecemeal work, they call it. You were paid by the hide, and long days, tough work, hard labor. And my grandfather's decided that he was going to open his own business, get out of the leather mills, and as he as my dad's, my grandfather's family grew. My dad is one of six siblings, five s sons, and one daughter. My grandfather said, I don't want any of my sons working in the leather mill. So the definition here I have of an entrepreneur defines as a person who organizes and manages an enterprise, generally a business. And it describes a person with initiative, one willing to take risks, to strike out alone, and capable of making something out of nothing. And that's the legacy my grandfather, my grandmother left to me, where I was aware and I saw pictures of the restaurant and the butcher shop that my grandparents started and opened, and they had their siblings and cousins who also immigrated from Italy working in this enterprise, these enterprises. And then my dad grew up, and his siblings grew up working in these, because the next business that my grandfather created for his sons was a construction company. And my father and his brothers and my father's brother-in-law, the only brother-in-law, all became skilled in a trade. And my dad was a mason. I had an uncle that was an electrician. I had an uncle that was in roofing and the roofing trade. I had another uncle that was in carpentry and finished carpentry. And there was they built commercial properties, they built residential homes, and it was very successful business. By the time I was in grade school, my dad and a couple of his brothers actually went out and created another business of their own. There was no more construction going on. And so my dad had always said in our home, get a higher education, get higher education such as college, work for someone to get your profession and your skills honed in, and then hang your own shingle, which was to hang your own sign and have your own business. And that's exactly what I did several decades ago. We have today as our guest after the break, Amy Hirschfeld, whose background is in publishing and archaeology. She's an archaeologist who ended up now as a distinguished senior lecturer at the Tufts University in Boston, Gordon Institute. And what she's going to discuss today is entrepreneurial thinking. This is what she's teaching in the Gordon Institute for these new up-and-coming entrepreneurs. And she's a small business owner herself. I met Amy when she was working Saluna Garden Farm, which is a small business that's focused on sustainable agriculture, and selling what she produced in her cafe at the Boston Public Markets. So I'm really looking forward for you to hear how someone who is an archaeologist becomes an entrepreneur and how her entrepreneurial thinking is being taught to the new generation of entrepreneurs. So don't miss today. It's a full-packed show with great information and inspiration. And I look forward to bringing that to you and for us to listen to hear Amy right after the break. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everyone, from the break. And our guest today is Amy Hirschfeld. And I just want to welcome Amy. Thank you so much for being on and being our guest today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
I have to ask you what I found, and you know this from my conversations with you. I love this idea. Your original education, your higher education was to become an archaeologist, and you became an archaeologist. And I'm just wondering how that all, if anything, led you to being able to use any of that into what you're doing today.
So the way that I became a professional archaeologist is kind of an interesting story because I got my undergraduate degree in archaeology, and I thought it was something that was just really a way to be well-rounded because archaeology brings in hard sciences, social sciences, arts, humanities. So when I was interviewing for my first job out of college, I remember saying to the person I was interviewing with that, well, an archaeology degree is kind of like an English degree. It means you can do anything, but archaeology has sciences too. And I ended up getting that job, and I was working in a publishing company in their legal and medical division. And after I'd been there for about a year and a half, one day I got a call from a friend that had been a graduate student when I was an undergrad. So we learned archaeology together, and she left me a voicemail that said, if you want to dramatically change your life in the next couple months, give me a call back. And I
Wow.
thought, ooh, that sounds intriguing. I have to find out what that is.
Right.
And so I called her back, and she said that she was going to be part of this expedition to the Sultanate of Oman, which is on the Arabian Peninsula. And it was an archaeological excavation that was going to be the subject of a documentary series on Nova, the program Nova. So it was going to be
Oh,
part of a
wow.
documentary. And the documentary filmmakers needed to have an archaeological team as part of this project. So
Right.
she said, do you want to come be on the staff of this archaeological expedition? And I said, absolutely. How could I pass up this amazing opportunity? There was so much
Absolutely.
uncertainty. I was leaving a job that I had fairly recently started that I liked, but I thought, I can't pass this up. It's something that's going to give me so many opportunities to learn new things, meet new people, do things that I couldn't even imagine at the moment. So I said yes. I left my job. And I went for about 2 years. I was working on this excavation,
Oh my
and
God.
we worked for the government of the Sultanate of Oman. We worked with a film crew that was creating this documentary. And we also were living in different places in Oman. So at one point, we were living in a Bedouin village out in the middle of the desert. So I got to meet so many different kinds of people and have so many different experiences that all of the preparation we did getting ready to go there, it helped, but there were so many things that I couldn't have planned for. And just having that really open mind to be excited about something unexpected instead of afraid of it. And I think that that's what being an archaeologist really gave me that informed a lot of what I did later in my life, finding opportunities and just diving in and doing something, even if I wasn't quite sure how it would turn out.
Actually, with that experience and developing that kind of open-mindedness, and courage, may I say, because, right, like you said, you're
Yes.
open-minded enough to dive into something, whether you know any much about it, anything about it. This, at least with this experience, you were already an archaeologist,
Right.
but here you are. Let's bring it right up to date here with what you're going to talk about today for our listeners, which is entrepreneurial thinking, because of what you do teach here at the Tufts Gordon Institute, technical writing, public speaking, and business communication courses. So, yeah, bring us up to date with how you can use this, and really expound that on to your students as well.
Yeah, so this idea of entrepreneurial thinking, to me, it's really about learning by doing something. It's not just reading about something and doing research. It's about learning by doing something. And a lot of people associate entrepreneurship with starting a business, but you can
Right.
apply entrepreneurial thinking in any situation. I think I did that when I decided to go on that archaeological excavation because you learn by doing something. You can't always prepare for what you need to do. So you learn while you're doing it, and you experiment and you iterate and you keep making changes, doing some more things, and then learning some more. And this is a lot of the way that I approach teaching now. I'm teaching at the Tufts Gordon Institute, which is part of Tufts that's focused on engineering management, entrepreneurship, leadership. And it focuses a lot on this idea of experiential learning. So students aren't just reading about things and taking tests. They're really doing things. They're having to really have some ownership of what they're doing, which is for a lot of students, even at the level of college, is not something they're used to. They're used to being told what to do. And
Yeah.
a lot of them get very good at doing what they're told to do. But when they
Right.
have the freedom to make the decisions what to do, they have to take a lot more ownership of their learning. And I think that's, in a way, it's very empowering at the same time that it can be a little bit scary because you don't know what to expect.
I grew up with a family of entrepreneurials and entrepreneurial thinking. So you're actually providing that opportunity for your students. Do you happen to have any students that possibly have family members that own their own business, so this isn't foreign to them?
Yeah, so there are definitely some students that think that they know what they want to do in business because they've observed their family members start a business or have roles in business. But there are some that don't have that experience at all. And the idea of this entrepreneurial thinking is a little bit new to them. So when I give them a situation where they have to own their learning and decide what they want to do, it really gives them a chance to figure out who they are and what they have to offer to the world and where they fit in. And it might be they decide they want to go start a business, or it might be they decide on a role that they want within a business and that they can still apply that kind of entrepreneurial thinking in finding opportunities and knowing how they could fit into those opportunities. And one of the things that I do that is part of students kind of having this sense of ownership is that I have them grade themselves. I don't give
Wow.
any grades. So they have to not only figure out what their goals are, they have to understand how to know if they're reaching those goals and that idea of self-assessment. And a lot of that comes through reflection and being able to sit back and think, okay, what have I done? What did I get out of it? What was challenging? And especially, who are the people that I need to surround myself with to have the right support system that I can explore myself, explore these opportunities that I have, and create a community that supports me and my goals in the same time that I can support them and their goals?
That sounds like almost like advice that you're giving based on your own business ownership. As I mentioned before the break, that you are still owner of Saluna Garden Farm, and you had for quite some time the cafe at the Boston Public Market where you sold what you farmed as well. So it sounds like you're providing with your students in the teaching, literally advice for them as a small business owner. Am I correct? Because that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I often think on my own experience as a small business owner and imagine if a student had the opportunity to create something, whether it was a small business, whether it was a new project within a business, that if they took some of those ideas of entrepreneurial thinking, that they would be able to take advantage of those opportunities. So the kind of advice I always give to students is really build on the things that you already have, while also continuing to learn as much as you can. But you can't just learn things from books. You have to get out there and do things. So take advantage of every opportunity you have to do something new. And also know when to move on and try another new thing. So that idea of iterating and continually trying new things and building on your successes and learning from your challenges. And overall, that being part of a community of people who can help you and support you along the way.
Thank you so much for being on, and your students are very lucky.
Thank you, Patty.
Welcome back, everyone, from the break. Wasn't Amy so interesting? And you can hear her passion in talking about entrepreneurial thinking and being able to help her students become entrepreneurial thinkers and creators. I just could listen to that, listen to Amy for hours, actually. I really could. At this point, we're at the last segment of our show here, and I call this my coaching corner. And what I want to mention here is that, you know, in reality, most small business people often do everything themselves, right? They're not only the creative genius behind the operation, but they're also the receptionist, the sales manager, maybe the production team, public relations, quality control, and bookkeeping and accounting. What they don't want to do is any of the things that I just mentioned, other than being the creative genius behind the operation, and they just want to run their business. They don't want to keep records or make spreadsheets or, you know, manage some of these other things of running a business. And at this point in time, as we're coming into the last few months of a year and the beginning of a new year, I've noticed there's three types of thought processes that tend to go on with people. Number one, at this time of year, they're thinking, I'd like to retire from what I'm doing full time and at the beginning of the year start my own business. Or I'd like to keep my working full time in my job, but I'd like to create at the beginning of the year what we tend to call a side hustle, which is a part-time self-employed business. And another type of thought that comes at this time of year is also that I would just like to be self-employed. I'm not retiring, but I no longer want to work full-time in for the profession. I no longer want to do the profession that I'm in right now working for somebody else. I either want to create my own business in the same profession or totally pivot and do something new. So this segment I'm going to be doing kind of quickly because there are a lot of ways to avoid the most common mistakes that small businesses make. So I want to give you some of my how-to list of how to avoid those common mistakes. And right off the bat, I'm going to be very quick with this. So maybe you might want to type these out or piece of paper and pencil or just re-listen to the replay or the podcast so that you can always refer back to this. So I'm going to go through this rather quickly, but a lot of people are going to ask, what type of business structure should I be? A corporation, a partnership, an LLC, a sole proprietorship? The key to that is you want to speak with a professional who can help you analyze, you know, these various business structures and talk to you about the advantages and the disadvantages. So you want to, and that's the next item on my list, the mistake to avoid is don't fail to get professional help. Too many business owners believe they can handle this aspect of business operations on their own. And I've seen it over the decades. This happens all the time, that when somebody is early in the startup process of their business and they're handling advertising and marketing and customers and et cetera, they actually don't get the bookkeeper or the accountant or the outside payroll service. They don't bring them on board to help them with these aspects, because the next thing you're going to want to do is to avoid this common mistake is disregarding the numbers. You want the numbers. You want to be able to track these critical statistics to pay attention to your bank account balance, your gross sales, your profit margins, you know, your costs of doing your job and generating your revenue, your cost of labor. And lastly, I don't recommend new small business owners do their own payroll. There's so much compliance with that. Please investigate getting a payroll service so that you classify your employees correct. Don't think you can do hire anything but just independent contractors, because the IRS has on their website the distinction between employees and independent contractors. You want to file those payroll tax returns and pay in those payroll taxes, because the IRS is very big on payroll tax audits and worker classification audits, that you are properly classifying workers as employees versus independent contractors, that you are taking all the taxes that you have withheld from your employees' paychecks and you are paying them into the federal government or the state taxing Department of Revenue if there are tax state income taxes withheld. And please do not commingle your personal and business income and expenses. You have to treat your business as a separate entity from you personally. Get a separate bank account, get a separate credit card for the business, get a separate identification number. They call it an EIN, an employer identification number. Even if you're not going to hire employees, it's called a, you know, EIN. Separate that. Please do not commingle, and keep copious records. I have seen this where small businesses are audited and they don't have all the necessary records in order to survive a payroll audit or a worker classification audit or just a sole proprietorship audit where you have to prove the burden of proving your expenses. We've come to the end of the show, so I have to close off by thanking everyone for listening. I hope you got a lot out of this show, and maybe you're getting very excited about going to newenglandtaxrelief.com and scheduling a complimentary telephone consultation with me so we could talk about if you have a passion or an idea or a project that you'd like to create a new business around, and let's do that. If you're somebody who's new and you're coming into the end of the year and you need some tax planning on a new business and you don't have a tax professional yet, give me a call as well, and we'll make sure you don't have any tax problems closing out this year and having to file and report it. Please come back next week. We will be talking to, we have our guest, Julie Chalupsky, who's actually a business results coach and trainer, and we're going to be talking about leadership skills, whether you become an employer or just with your employees or as a coworker. No matter what, whether you're an employee or a business owner, leadership starts with you. So you bring that wherever you are. So I think these are important skills too in good business, solid business growth. So thank you for everyone listening to the Patty Gentile Show on WADK 1540 AM, Newport, Rhode Island. Once again, we've mentioned at the beginning of the show, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, on my podcast, Fighting the Good Fight with Patricia Gentile, and also on my website, newenglandtaxrelief.com. Thank you, everyone. Have a great rest of the day.